Grace, mercy, and peace are indeed yours from God your Father, in and from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be faithful, be righteous, make your heart pure, avoid cheating people, be upright, don't sleep, work, especially you Greek students. Don't be deceitful, keep away from slanderers, don't curse your father or mother, don't repay evil with evil. Thus the word of the Lord, our reading for today. Encouraging, isn't it? Lots of comforting gospel. Martin Luther called the book of Proverbs a, quote, book of good works, for in it God teaches how to live a good life. But is that all there is to it? I don't know about you, but when I heard that reading, I thought, what a confused, jumbled mess of stuff. And Proverbs, at first glance to all of us, makes us very uncomfortable. It sounds like my mother or father, who, though they loved me very much, said, Rick, do this. Rick, don't do that. Come in by 11. Don't get a speeding ticket. Don't drive too fast. Remember to comb your hair. Clean up your room, sweep the garage, and the list went on and on and on. Or perhaps, for some of you, that might even come from your spouse or some other significant person in your life. Or perhaps even your conscience is saying these things. You see, at first glance, the book of Proverbs seems to be nothing but law. And law is uncomfortable for each one of us, for it convicts us of our sin. Plus, we already have enough law from the world around us, don't we? You know, all the do this and do that that come from people and things and institutions in our lives. Just think of all of the worldly proverbs, aphorisms, and sayings that hit us from outside Scripture. A penny saved is a penny earned. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy and wise. Wow, it's hard enough to save a penny, isn't it, without someone commanding us to do it? And don't we all love to sleep in whenever we get the chance? All this law stuff indeed shows us nothing other than our own weakness, our own inability to keep the law. But now let's take a second look, a second glance at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs reveals something much different and much better. God, writing through Solomon, tells us of a divine wisdom, a wisdom that is different than the wisdom of the world. It tells us something about someone in these words from our text. A man of understanding, a righteous man who walks with integrity, a king who sits on the throne and winnows all evil, a man with lips of knowledge, a precious jewel, and most clearly at the end of the text, a Lord who will deliver you. Who can this be? One of us? Certainly not, for we are convicted by our very lack of these characteristics. No, the man referred to here is none other than Jesus Christ himself, the one who is faithful, the one who is righteous, the one who is pure, the one who does not slander but speaks well of us to our Heavenly Father, the one who is never deceitful, the one who repays evil not with evil, but with good, our evil repaid with his good. Our evil thoughts, words, and deeds repaid with his good thoughts and deeds. Our rebellion against God himself repaid with Christ's faithfulness. He should slay us, but instead he repays our evil toward him and toward our fellow man with good. His good and perfect life, His good and perfect suffering, His perfect death for our sins. Well, we'll never be able to do all the things that Proverbs demands. In fact, apart from Christ, we won't be able to do any of them. Oh, we all know about this thing called civil righteousness, in which even unbelievers, because they have the law written on their hearts and on their consciences, can do good things. But it is only in Christ, in whom we are baptized, that we can do good things pleasing to God. So we continue on living with the shouts of the world and others toward us demanding things that we do. There will always be the gottas, oughtas, and shouldas. You know what I mean? You gotta do this, you oughta do that, you should have done this, this. But more importantly, there will always be a Lord who says, I did it, I do it, and I will do it. I have redeemed you, and I feed you with that redemption, and I will always do that because you are dear to me, and nothing will allow you to be snatched from my hands. Thank God for this deliverance that we have in Jesus Christ. In the words of TLH, stanzas 3 and 4, oh, magnify the Lord with me. With me exalt his name. When in distress I cried to him, he to my rescue came. The hosts of God encamp around the dwellings of the just. Deliverance he affords to who on his succor trust. In the name of Jesus, amen.